Book of John. Book of John. Chapter number 6. Book of John, chapter number 6. May the Lord help us today. I understand there is somewhat of a somber mood, if you will. There always is. We have loss. Amen. I pray that I can spark something inside of us. Amen. The word of the Lord. And give us hope and the strength that we need. Amen.
Amen.
I was going to finish what I started last Sunday in the book of Colossians, but I felt like I needed to change it a little bit here. So going to do so. We'll reconvene there as the Lord will. John chapter number 6 and verse number 8 said, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many?" God bless you in Jesus' name. See you. But what are they among so many? Verse number 10 said, "And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled," everybody say filled.
Filled.
"When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." I want to preach to you here for just a few moments on this thought. Whose hand is it in? Whose hand is it in? You'll understand as I give you some examples, and these are, I am not a sports advocate by no means. This does age me a little bit and tell me where I was during some sports history people. I don't know any of them today. I did when I was younger, but even when I was younger, I was not an advocate of sports, so on and so forth. So I'm not advocating that in any stretch of the imagination. Yet at the same time, if I had a basketball in my hand today, it would be worth $20. That's all it would be worth. But if it was in the hands of Michael Jordan, it would be worth about $30 million.
That's right.
And it does make a difference whose hand it's in. Does anybody, and some of you may remember this, and some of the younger ones may not remember this, but there was a man by the name of Mark McGuire. It was a baseball player, and he was slugging things clear out of the ballpark. And a bat in my hand may be worth about $30. But a bat in Mark McGuire's hand would be worth about $20 mil. Makes a big difference who's that. I mean, I can't even hit it out of the park, the elementary school park's grounds, right? Much less a pro ball field. Because it makes a difference whose hand that bat is really in. And then when you think about this setting of scripture that we have before us, two fish and 5 loaves in my hands would make a couple sandwiches. That's about all we're going to get out of it. But when you put it in God's hand, amen, all of a sudden it feeds 5,000 men plus the women and children.
Right.
And there's still some remaining.
Right.
Amen. And you can take some nails and put some nails in my hands, and I can make a couple birdhouses at best. Mm-hmm. You put a couple nails in the hands of Jesus Christ, and you have salvation for an entire world.
Hey, that's very good.
Depends on whose hands it's in. It depends on whose hand it is in. Amen. The setting here is of a great miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And it started because Jesus was performing miracles everywhere he went. People were no longer just intrigued with him interested in him, but now they were addicted to him. Now he had this following because there was an addiction, there was an attraction that was overwhelming to the people because of the miracles that he had done. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, even they were now following after him. Of course, we understand for different reasons, because their popularity was waning and Jesus was increasing immensely. And so they had a different ulterior motive of following after him. Nevertheless, Jesus' fame began to spread all throughout Jerusalem and the surrounding cities. This setting happens just after Jesus goes to the pool of Siloam, and he heals a man on the Sabbath day that had been laying there for 30 years. For 30 years. And as he walks out, and the word began to spread that this man laid there for 30 years of affliction, but Jesus said, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." And he did just that. All of a sudden, that crowd grew a little bit more. And he went on a little bit further as he departed. And we know a little bit of the story there. He rebukes the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He puts them in their place. He says, "Are you kidding me? What do you mean I can't heal on the Sabbath day? Just because you're a legalistic individual,
right,
and you say you can't do anything on the Sabbath day, like take up your bed and walk, here's a man for 30 years, tell him to lay there another day."
Right.
I'm going to tell you, forget that log, if you will. I want to get up and walk. And if Jesus said get up and walk today, it's time to get up and walk.
Right.
And so he gets up and he walks, and he takes care of all the issues with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of which we have even today. They want to analyze and they want to critique everything instead of just allowing God's Spirit to move and allowing God to have His way. They want to manipulate it for their benefit and for their glory and for their honor and for their namesake and all these other kinds of things, for their position, instead of to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. And there we have at the end of this, this great multitude. Let me say this morning, that when we get together, when we gather together because we want to be closer to Him, Jesus has this immense compassion towards us, and He wants to perform a miracle and bless us.
Right.
It is no different. It is no different today than it was back then. As they, what were they following after? They wanted to see another miracle. They wanted to be a part of Jesus. They wanted to be close to Him. Perhaps some of them were following in the distance with an ailment, and thought, maybe if I hang around long enough, I'll get something from the Lord myself.
Right.
And I believe that that's probably the case, because that's the case today. There are many that hang around the church and believe God can do the miracles for somebody else, but don't believe that God can do it for themselves. Don't think that God's really interested, but I'm telling you that God wants to perform a miracle in your life. He wants to bless you and I. It's His desire. If we go back up in our opening setting, verse number 5, it said, "And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw the great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He sees them and he goes, you know what? These folks are probably hungry. We need to feed them. And this he had said to prove him. For he himself knew that what he would do. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You realize this morning that Jesus already knows what he wants to do.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus already knows what he wants to do. He already knows what your problem is.
Right.
And he already knows what he wants to do to fix it. It's amazing how many times we find the Lord doing this sort of thing and understanding that he's omniscient, knows all things, he controls all things, he knows what he's going to do before he even does it. And when I begin to think about this story, and I saw that little setting right there, that he knew what he was going to do, I thought about this morning, God, what are you going to do today? I don't know what you're going to do today, but he already knows.
Right.
He already knows who's hurting, who's got a need, who needs this and who needs that. And he already has an answer.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell him we'll have to preach a little bit before I get to your world today. It's important for us to realize that in this scripture, what was Jesus really talking about? He already had the answer to a problem. And he already understood and even states the problem. What are we going to do about getting these people fed? He poses the situation here. What are we going to do about this great multitude that's hungry today? He already knew what he's going to do.
Right.
He just wanted to see what you're going to do.
Right.
Huh? Amen. You can say it this morning, well, my situation and my problem is this big and it's this complex and it's this difficult. But let me tell you today, he's already got a solution for your problem. He's already got a solution for your difficulty. He's already got a solution for your situation. It's probable that the situation that you may be facing this week is entirely God's way of finding out how much faith you have in him.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, God already knew that that situation was going to come.
Right.
But now he says, now I want to see where your faith is at. I want to see what you're going to do about the situation that I put in your life. I've already got an answer for your problem. I've already got an answer for your difficulty. But I want to see if you're going to trust me. I want to see if you're going to lean on me. I want to see if you're going to pay me the due respect that I deserve. Hallelujah. Can I encourage you today with four little words? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, can I give you five words of instruction? Put it in God's hands.
Hallelujah.
See, I didn't get near the response about having faith in God, because it's easy to clap your hands and say amen, praise the Lord, but for you to put it in God's hands is an entirely different situation, because that means you got to get yourself out of the way, you got to get your ideas out of the way, and you literally have to put it in there and don't take it back from God. Hallelujah. I got news for you today. God's problem is not your problem.
Right.
Huh? I can say it the other way. Your problem is not God's problem. Your problem is just your problem.
Amen.
Because God don't have any problems.
Right.
The only problem God has is you.
Right.
Come on now. Come on, that's the reality of it. The only problem God has is you.
Right.
Your problems aren't God's problems. because he's already got an answer. He's already got it figured out. He already knows what he's going to do. The only problem that stands in between you and you and the answer is you. What are you going to do? Hallelujah. He's got the answer. It's not a problem anymore. It's only a problem with you. It's only a problem in your world. It's only a problem in your eyes.
Right.
Amen. That's
the truth.
Right.
Amen. And I say again, the problem is you. The problem is me. The problem lies with me, not with God. Whether or not you are going to have the faith he needs to bring about that miracle in your life is entirely predicated upon you.
Amen.
It's nobody else. We always want to blame it on extenuating circumstances. We want to blame it on the government. We want to blame it on this. And we want to blame it on other people. And we want to say it's this person and that. No, 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 no. Your problem don't have anything to do with the government.
Right.
No, it doesn't. But I just told you I wanted to encourage you today and say have faith in God. I know it starts with a G, but it's government has a lot of red tape. That's why it's a bigger word than God. God wants you to trust in Him.
Right.
Yes. I said God wants you to trust in Him.
Yes.
God wants you to put your confidence in Him. God wants you to put your life in His hands.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 7 said, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth. That's what we've got, God. We've got 200 pennyworth of bread to feed this great company. And it's not sufficient for them that every one of them may even have a little bit. He said, we do have, and this is what's awesome, is when you look at the scripture, the disciples said, we don't want to tell anybody this. We got a little bit of bread, but it's really only enough for us.
Yeah.
That's what the disciples said. The disciples said, we got 200 pennyworth, but it's not sufficient. There's no way anything can be done with this. The disciples recognized that there wasn't enough. And even Andrew tried to help out a little bit. Because I just want, now this is me, this ain't in there, but it's just me. I just think about this. I think there was a little boy that piped up and said, I got a little bit. Because he probably heard Philip say, well, we got 200 pennyworth, but that ain't enough. And this little boy heard that. He said, I got two loaves and five fish. I mean, I got five fish and two, or five. Two fish and five loaves.
Yeah.
He said, I got some too. There was some. I believe that there was some faith in this little no-name boy that said, if you got 200 pennyworth, I got two fish and five loaves. If we put this together, he already had in his mind, if we start working this problem together, we're going to start figuring it out some way, somehow. I think that was his attitude. He didn't look at what they didn't have, but he started looking at what they did have. And that's the problem with many of us today. We are very able, we have this great ability to see what we don't have,
right,
and only capitalize on that instead of looking at what I do have.
Right.
Mm. Amen. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. What are these amid among so many? And that's what Philip says. He said, we got 200 penny worth of bread. And then that little boy says, hey, I got two fish and five loaves. He's like, oh, shut up, little kid. Because that's basically what is that about so many? What is that? Come on. Give me a break. All that put together still ain't enough. He is already doubted. And there's some of you that are just like that sitting in this house today. You're all, yeah. Well, I don't know if God can do that or not. Will you just go ahead? I plan on being a little lad today.
Amen.
I wish I could get a hold of somebody today that could get the attitude of a little lad and say, hey, I don't know. this is all I've got, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm willing to put it and get it out of my hands. I'm willing to take it out of my hands and put it in the master's hand, and let's see what happens when it's out of my hands to making just a couple of sandwiches to feeding 5,000. I just wonder what God would want to do with some of us today if we take stuff out of our hand and start putting it in his hand and watch God bless it and watch God multiply it, watch God heal it, watch God deliver it, watch God save it. When a person offers the little that they have, Jesus could turn that little into more than enough. Let me remind you this morning, it depends on whose hands it's in. Have you ever wondered if anybody else was there that day that had any food? I have. I thought 5,000 men and nobody but that one little boy got through. It's amazing to me. We know that the disciples had 200 penny worth, but it wasn't enough. So they didn't come prepared for this great event. And I think Jesus knew that. And I don't know what that crowd was thinking that day, if they were just so intoxicated by the presence of Jesus. Which we could preach about that, but I'm not going to. But it sure would be nice to get that intoxicated that we just forget about everything, even our need for food.
Oh, yeah.
And we just get so intoxicated that we fall under God full heartedly.
Right.
That'll preach right there. Yeah, we get so intoxicated that we forget about our daily food because we're so intoxicated, so enthralled, so enthused, so enamored by Jesus Christ and everything that He can do and will do that we forget about even our day-to-day needs.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You wonder if any of them had anything else. If they did, why didn't they offer it? I wonder if some of them did, but they're like, ain't no way. I just got enough to feed my family. I wonder, because, and the reason why I say that is because this may be a little bit on the negative aspect of it, but because I know how humanity is, I have a feeling that there are some other people there that day that had some food, but they weren't willing to say, here, you can take mine also.
Right. Yeah.
They were still too concerned and too selfish about themselves, because I know how humanity is, even sitting here under the sound of my voice.
Right.
That we're selfish. And we think about making sure I've got enough before I have to worry about you or you or you or anybody else. I want to make sure I'm going to be taken care of.
Right.
It's drilled into our nature, especially as a filthy, rich, arrogant, overfilled Americans. I ain't filthy rich. You are compared to those in Uganda, compared to those in China, compared to those in the Ukraine, compared to those in Greece. Do you want me to keep on going? You got a whole lot more than any of them do. And I can name you at least 30 more countries, and you got a whole lot more than anybody else does. So what you whining and complaining about? Well, you can complain and you can whine and gripe all you want to, but I'm going to tell you what, you're blessed people here today. No matter how much or how little you have, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. And I'm not so sure that God wouldn't like to multiply you more, but you're so concerned about what you don't have instead of praising God and thanking God for what you do have. You're complaining and griping about all that you don't, and God can't work with that. He said, why don't you give me all that you got to, and see what I can do with it.
Amen.
I think they weren't looking at what they had, but everybody was focused on what they didn't have, what they lost, what they were lacking. They saw that they were lacking. They saw that they were lacking not just a little bit, but in a big way. They saw their deficit. The disciples weren't well enough equipped to feed this type of people or this to make sure that there was enough for them. How many times in the scripture were people told to use what they had? One parable that comes to mind is the talents. How he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to the other, and 1 to the other. They took what they had. The one and multiplied it. The other, they multiplied it. But the one that didn't think he had enough, just like I'm preaching to some of us here today, you don't think you got enough because you only got this little one talent, this little bit. You don't think you have enough. He went and buried it. Are you burying it today? What was the curse? He said, I'm going to take that which you have and give it to the others because you are not doing with what I gave you. I see guilty halos around some of you angels. Your little gold ring that was floating around your head that you thought you were so good just all of a sudden turned it, instead of just being around, it started doing cursive. Guilty. Yeah. Guilty. You're right, because I'm sitting here today, Pastor, and I've only got just this one little talent, and I just only got this much, and I ain't got much to work with. And while God is trying to get a hold of your heart and get a hold of your mind and say, why don't you give me what you do have instead of sitting there and holding on tight-fisted?
Yeah.
I said holding on tight-fisted and not able to give, not able to let it go and let God multiply, let God do something with it, but your hope, but this is all I got. I gotta hold on to this.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
We're coming on that season where Grinch is alive. Yeah. Huh? Right. Oh yeah. Hold on to it with all you want. And I'm gonna tell you, you're not gonna be blessed of the Lord in that manner.
Right.
You've gotta give, 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 and I'm not talking about giving it to everybody else. I'm talking about giving it to God. Put it in God's hands. Let God take care of it. But I got to do this with my problem. And some of us want to say, well, you know, you've got...
Now some of you other ones, I'm going to preach you from it. Those of you that are all analytical, say, well, but Pastor, you do have to do something. You know, you have to physically do something yourself also. Yeah, right? Give it to God.
Give it to God.
Right. Yeah.
maybe it wasn't politically correct, but you know what I mean.
Come on now. Yeah, you do have to do something, but instead of you trying to analytically figure it out with your mind how you got to do this and how you got to do that and blah, 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 he said, just turn it over. Just give it to me, and I'll take care of the rest. If you just give me what you do have. What about that woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4? I just read it last night. No, I got excited. When she came to the prophet, she said, hey, my husband's dead. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. I got 2 sons, and I owe a bunch of bills, and the debt collectors are going to take my boys away. What am I going to do? Preacher, he said, well, what do you have in your house?
Yeah.
And her first words is she said, I don't have anything. That's what she said. You go there. It says it there in 2 Kings chapter 4. I don't remember what verse. But nevertheless, it's right there. It said, she said, I don't have anything. Comma.
Save a pot of oil. That's the way some of you are. I don't have anything except for a little bit of oil.
Really?
Really? Is that the way you're going to act? I don't got nothing. I got this, but that ain't much.
Yeah. Oh. Come on, what's he wanting to do with that pot of oil?
Yeah.
I got a little pot of oil, but a little bit of oil, just a little bit of oil.
He said, all right, I can work with that. I just wonder, what would God like to work with in your life? What would God like to work with in your life? What what would he like to work with in your life? Well, he got much better. Some of y'all are looking at me just like that, and I ain't gonna look at you no more. I am not gonna look at you no more because you're already asking God, what do I got? God, I ain't got nothing. And you're who I'm preaching to! You're exactly who I'm preaching. Don't look at me like that!
Man,
man, I can tell you, that prophet must have been frustrated when he saw her go. He said, go get some pots. Go borrow some pots. God, get out there, go borrow some pots.
Right.
So she finally said, boys, the preacher said, go get some pots. Let's go see if we can get any of our neighbors to borrow some pots from us. And, you know, we ain't got much. I don't know what in the world he's thinking. He's crazy. He's off his rocker.
You know why I can think her probably some of her attitude was like that? Is because of some of yours is like that. And you'll begrudgingly go ahead,
okay, I'll go get some pots, I guess. If that's what I got to do.
Because that's the way some of us are.
Right.
Okay, well, Pastor said do this, so I guess I'll go ahead.
That's right.